Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
All right, we've been making money. Well, that's kind of not true. We've picked at least a winner all year long. We picked at least one winner every week.
Lower that bar, baby.
In the NFL. Every week. We had 1 week where we were off, but every other week aside from that, we picked a winner in BZ Money. We're trying to make it 18 in a row as we continue on in the wild card round. We did win $50 last week, so our $1,000 Mr. Gow allowance is only down to $735, but we now have the playoffs, and this is when the Killer Bees really come through. This is when the Killer Bees are clutch. These are where the Killer Bees make their money. When the games count the most, we do have to change up the rules a little bit of BZ Money. This week, we used to pitch 2 games apiece. Blank would pitch 2. I would pitch 2. Usually Brendan. Brendan got fired, though. He would pitch 2 as well. But this week, we only have 6 games, so we got to go bullet point by bullet point, game by game, trying to decide which games of the wild card round that we want to bet. Let's go in order here. San Francisco at home this week against Seattle. San Francisco, 10-point favorites against Geno Smith, against Seattle. We got to talk through each and every one of these games. San Fran, minus 10. It's a number for me that's quite a bit. It's a big number.
I hate the number, but I just don't have the same trepidation that a lot of people do about, I don't think Seattle's going to cover. I don't. I just feel like, and I guess there's the variable of Purdy, and that Purdy could completely crap the bed, and then all bets are off. I just feel in my heart of hearts, Seattle has been just snowing people all year, and I just don't see them doing it to a team that, especially defensively, has just been a juggernaut the last quarter of the season. I know 10 is a high number, especially in the NFL and especially in the playoffs. I just feel like in my gut that San Francisco's going to cover that.
Let me
preface that by saying I would stay away from this game, but if I'm going either way, I'm going on San Francisco.
I like the Seattle side of this, if I'm being completely honest with you. I don't want to give 10 points to Seattle with Brock Purdy as their quarterback. I personally wouldn't bet it, but I think we should bet every game of the wild card round for the fun of it. I like Seattle to cover this number. I don't think that they're going to win the game. I think San Francisco is going to kind of win comfortably, but I think it's going to be 7-10. I don't see San Francisco winning by more than that. I kind of like the Seattle side, actually.
You can sway me on that. B-Mac, where are you
at? Yeah, I would like to lay off this game, but if we're going to bet every game, I would probably go on the Seattle side. Not so much that San Francisco is going to have to sweat this out, but I think the Seattle offense is good enough to maybe get a score late, bring a 13-point game down under the number.
Blankers wanted the other side. B-Mac and I don't feel good about it. Let's just go with like our minimum $20 here. $20. Moving on to the next game in Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a home dog. The Jags are getting 1.5 against the Chargers. I was talking to Paulie a little bit in the turnaround between the shows. Mm-hmm. These are a couple of teams where I don't trust either one of them.
Agreed.
The Chargers always seem to not be as like a threat as much as we think them to be a threat. The Jags are making their first playoff appearance with this regime of the Jags. I kind of see both teams getting in their own way, but I like the Jags. You're getting points at home. Give me Jacksonville plus 1.5, a home dog in the wild card round.
I like the Chargers. I said I think the Chargers could be the sleeper team that could make some noise in the playoffs. They're too talented. They've got two. Although Williams and the stupidity of Staley playing him when you didn't have to is not a good thing. I just believe that Herbert has just been on fire lately. I love the way he's continuing to mature into one of the better quarterbacks in this league. Lawrence has had a season where you really start to believe again he deserves to be the number one. He deserved to be the number one pick, but I don't think he's there yet to the level of Herbert. And I really love the Chargers defense with Mack and Bosa and James and all the guys that they have. I think that winning by a field goal to me is a no-brainer. I think the Chargers can win by a field goal. That's why I like LA.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jeremy again here. I think these teams are both prone to tripping over their own feet. And give me the team with the coach I trust more and the team that's playing at home. Plus, as someone who has Justin Herbert on his fantasy team, the way he played down the stretch kind of has me a little bit jaded and mad at him. So I'm going to go the side of the Jaguars on this one.
Still not a game I feel all that strongly about where I want to put a ton of money on it.
Well, it doesn't matter to me because I'm out. I've been outvoted.
I think $25, though.
$25 is
fair. $25 on this one. Buffalo at home against Miami. Buffalo, of course, playing with a lot of incentive, a lot of motivation. Miami's going to have Skylar Thompson at quarterback, but it's a huge number, Blankers. Buffalo's giving up 13 points at home to Miami.
I hate the number. I think Buffalo obviously wins this game, and I don't have any confidence in a Skylar, no matter if he's a rookie or not, to quarterback a team and go into Buffalo. What's the weather? Do we know?
I don't know.
I think that's going to be a factor as well, but 13 just seems to be too big of a number. I actually think the Dolphins' defense is decent. I know these teams that know each other very, very well. Buffalo wins the game. 13 seed, you guys again are going to tell me. I think the number's too big.
Which side would you play, though?
I would play if I had to, gun to my head, I would play the Buffalo side because I think Skyler's going to be just a complete crap show.
This is another one where I would avoid, but because we're playing every game of BZ Money with six wild card games, I think Buffalo wins by more than 13. Well, you have it at 13. It's grown to 13.5, but we're going to play it at 13 because that's the number that was initially put in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Buffalo. I think Buffalo rolls. I don't think Miami's going to score. I think they're going to have a very difficult time scoring. I can't imagine a world where Miami scores more than 13 points.
Plus, with Buffalo's front seven, they will try and take Tyreek Hill and any kind of deep threat out of the equation and dare them to run on that front seven, and I think they'll be just fine.
And if Miami gets, do you envision a scenario where Miami scores more than 13? I don't.
No.
And by the way, the high on Sunday is 30 degrees. That's okay. The high.
And the Dolphins been great.
I'll tell you the scenario. Teddy Bridgewater comes in for Skyler and is able to orchestrate a drive or two.
Still don't score more than 13. So if the Dolphins score 13 points, Buffalo is given 13. That means Buffalo would have to score less than 27. That ain't happening. Buffalo minus 13 is the play here.
Buffalo and they're on minus a mission. 13. Buffalo's really focused right now, too.
So we all pick Buffalo minus 13, which is a big number. We all hate the number, but since we all picked it, you want to put
30
bucks on it? $50 on the Buffalo Bills. This is one that might be a topic of content between us all. Minnesota is home for the football Giants. The Vikings are giving away 3 points, a 3-point home favorite. How are you feeling about this one, Blankers?
I just think as much as Kirk Cousins quarterbacks the Vikings, and the Vikings are going to be vulnerable later on, too many weapons at home in a very raucous environment where the Vikings are in the playoffs and their fans are going to get there early, and they've got good fans. But I believe that, you know, whether you just hand the ball off to Cook a lot to get going, but with the guys that they have, and Jefferson's going to have a day, and their defense is good too. The Giants, kudos to Daboll and those guys for making the playoffs. I just feel like the Vikings can cover this easily, and I like the Vikings at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game, but one that the Vikings win by more than three. I think it's going to be a close game kind of throughout, a one-possession game kind of throughout, and the Vikings pull away a little bit in the fourth quarter where they get a key score late, maybe a key stop
turnover
late,
the
Giants can't score. I think it's going to be a close game for most of it, but the Vikings win by more than 3 points. They'll cover the 3 points at home this weekend.
Well, I'm outvoted, but for the record, I think the wrong team's favorite. I think the Giants win this game outright.
All right, so that will probably minimize it a little bit, but Minnesota's the play. Minus three. I mean, how much do you want to bet on this one, Blankers?
I mean, I'd like to put, like, 40.
All right, let's go $40 on the Minnesota Vikings. B-Mac's only been with us a few days. He doesn't have very much value in all of this.
Not a lot of sway there yet.
All right, another game on Sunday, Cincinnati at home against Baltimore. Now, news is out on this one that Lamar Jackson will not be playing on Sunday.
News put out by Lamar Jackson on his Twitter account.
Yeah, just ask Lamar Jackson. But Cincinnati's favored by 8.5 at home against Baltimore. They haven't announced who their starter is going to be. They're playing it kind of coy, kind of close to the vest. How are you feeling about this one?
Well, I feel like Cincinnati's going to win the game. Again, the points, but Baltimore's defense is good. But boy, oh boy, is Cincinnati peaking at the right time. I like Cincinnati. I don't know, again, how Baltimore's going to score points, kind of similar to the way we were talking about Miami. I think Cincinnati can cover the number.
I'm on board with that. These two teams played last week with a game that mattered, because if Baltimore won that game, then all of a sudden, if they played again, the home field advantage would have been decided by a flip of the coin. And the Ravens couldn't score. The Bengals beat them by 11, and they scored 3 points in the second half. They scored 3 points in the second half, and the Bengals won by 11. And the Bengals were mad, too. They thought Baltimore was playing dirty in that game. the Bengals are going to roll. They're going to blow out Baltimore. Baltimore's had the Lamar Jackson saga. They haven't been very good offensively. I think the Bengals crush Baltimore on Sunday.
It's unanimous. I think the Bengals cover this easy. It looks like Tyler Huntley's going to start this game, but I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I think that's the best of the worst options that they have. So, you know, more power to them. But I think the Bengals cover it. What do you want to do? Oh, boy.
I can already see
the look on Jeremy's face. He wants to go big.
Put the biggest number we've had.
I want to go 100.
Yeah. I want bigger
playoff
than 50.
Playoff time, baby. It's bigger, go home. We got to blow Mr. Gal's money at some point.
8.5 for a hundo.
It's Baltimore. They can't score.
What the hell? Let's do it.
Let's do 100 bucks. 100 bucks. On the Cincinnati
Bengals. We went pretty
Bengals,
light on
minus
the first three.
Eight and a half.
So.
Yeah, that's our big play of the week. I like it. Well, unless there's one more. Tampa Bay, another home dog. This is a Monday nighter. It's a little Monday night sweat in the wild card round. Tampa Bay, 2.5-point dogs at home against America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
I like Tampa to win the game outright. I just feel like the Dak Prescott we saw recently is not a Dak Prescott that I want to hang my wallet on, let alone my hat on, and say, go win a football game. And I know the guy on the other side, as much as he has had a lot of issues to deal with on and off the field this year, when the playoffs are on, Brady's normally on too. And he's got a lot of veterans that may have been coasting through the regular season that are going to be there for him on Monday night. I like the Buccaneers in this game.
The Cowboys lost 8 straight road playoff games. Tom Brady 7-0 against the Cowboys in his career. We saw, as Joel mentioned, how the Cowboys' offense looked in that last game against the Commanders. There's no way I'm not taking Tampa as a home dog here.
I kind of hate playing either one of these teams. I do, like, for everything y'all said about Dallas, I'm not really interested in playing Dallas, especially as a road favorite.
Yep.
I hate the way Tampa Bay played all year.
I hate
Tampa
their
Bay
offensive
has been
line.
Incredibly mediocre. Like, Tampa Bay has not looked good the entire season.
On paper, I love their defense. On paper, I should love their skill position guys with Mike Evans and the guys.
You had a big game in week
17. He did. And because you got Brady, I hate their offensive line.
If I gun to my head, I'm not betting against Tom Brady in the postseason, but this is a game I want very little to do with. I want very little investment in this game. Can I talk you on to $25 on Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
I don't want a whole lot of play here.
I was thinking 20 or 25.
All
so
right,
fine.
We're going to go Tampa Bay as the home dog for 25 bucks. So the Killer Bees got Seattle plus 10, Jacksonville plus 1.5, Buffalo minus 13, Vikings minus 3, Cincinnati minus 8.5, and Tampa Bay plus 2.5. Remember, Killer Bees every week have picked a winner with their bets on BZ.
It's up to you to figure out which one it is.
All right, coming up next was Embracing the Suck. Worth it. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get into the, was the Embrace the Suck worth it in just a moment. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, though. Troy has been hanging on for a little while. I want to take care of our guy, Troy. Troy, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Troy?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
What's up, man?
Pretty good.
All right, so I wanted to talk about basically how you guys, assuming that the Chicago is going to trade the number one pick, is basically a foregone conclusion, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think they're going to get a good enough deal where they'll be willing to trade the number one pick. So I think Bryce is going to be there for the Texans to pick up, but I think a better option for them would be C.J. Stroud.
Why is that? You think Stroud's better?
Yeah, I think C.J. Stroud is a has played more and more like highly competitive games or bigger competition than Will Levis has. And I believe, you know, Bryce is better, like, accuracy-wise. It's just his size, I think, will be a problem in the NFL. He might be hurt a little more or a little easier than C.J. Stroud. He also has mobility, which he doesn't really use, but he can throw the ball better than most quarterbacks coming out of college right now.
You don't like Stetson Bennett? Big games are your thing. Why don't you like Stetson?
Yeah, I like Stetson too. He played in really big games also. I think he definitely should get picked in, up in his draft, but I think the size thing is going to be a problem for him also.
Yeah, it will be. I was kind of teasing. Troy, those are good points. Appreciate you listening to the Killer Bees.
Thanks, Troy.
Always welcome to call, 713-780-ESPN. The quarterback conversation is going to be a good one. Like, I'm willing to concede that. And I want to get to that point in a moment. To Troy's point about we're automatically assuming Chicago is going to trade that pick, I think that they probably ultimately will. I also think it's very plausible they just take Bryce Young, that they look at their franchise and they say, okay, for us to be the best team over the next 10 years, does it make sense drafting Bryce Young and trading Justin Fields, or keeping Justin Fields and going Will Anderson, going Jalen Carter, trading that pick down? I think there's a pretty decent chance that Chicago ends up keeping the pick and going quarterback on their own.
Well, and these are things that I said today, the 25-27% range, because I think that they might not be able to find a trade partner. But to your point, I also said this is a new general manager that had nothing to do with making a trade and getting Justin Fields and trying to save their butts after making a huge misstep the last time they traded up to get a quarterback. So he might not be enamored with a guy that really runs as much as he passes, probably more at this point in his career, and trying to get him to be a dual threat and be as good passing the ball as he is, at least somewhat, as he is running the football, and maybe didn't want to sign up for that. So maybe instead of taking offers for the pick, you take offers for Fields, and you realize I can get more for a team from a team that already has seen enough of Fields to know that's what I want to get me through the next 5 years or so, as opposed to everybody that has concerns about the measurables on Bryce Young. I think Chicago makes a trade either way, unless they just can't find a partner. But if they can't find a partner for the number one pick, they might find a better offer for Justin Fields.
Do you believe you need a franchise quarterback to win in the NFL?
I actually do.
Do you think Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback?
I actually do not.
And we're simplifying it here, I understand now, that.
Because there's a difference, Jeremy, because I've had this argument with friends of mine. I think that Justin Fields can be a very good quarterback. He can be a good quarterback in this league. But I don't believe Justin Fields can be the kind of quarterback he was at Ohio State that could be the main reason why he was winning football games, his team was winning football games.
Maybe we should define it. Whenever we had this argument last year a little bit.
We discussed
it. I'm looking at a quarterback that whenever he's at the helm, that you're a Super Bowl contender no matter what else is around you. And if you look in the NFL right now, Pat Mahomes is that guy. Josh Allen is that guy. I think Joe Burrow is that guy. Yep. I think Justin Herbert probably should be that guy, but Brandon Staley might be hindering him. I think Aaron Rodgers probably was that guy. Tom Brady probably was that guy. So, like, whenever I say, and maybe my definition for franchise quarterback is,
I think it's pretty good.
But that doesn't matter. That's, like, not the conversation. A quarterback that, no matter what, your team is a championship contender. I don't think that Justin Fields is that guy. I don't think Justin Fields.
And do you
think
he could ever be that guy?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I think it's going to take a perfect scenario where the situation around him is so great, maybe like Tua at Miami. I think Jalen Hurts probably could be that guy, develop into that guy. But, like, if you put Justin Fields in the Eagles offense with a very good offensive system with A.J. Brown on one side, Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, on the other side, like, Fields could have a really good season. Mm-hmm. Not as good as Jalen Hurts, but he could be really good, and the Eagles could be a contender. But I'm talking about any scenario there is, because people expected Mahomes to take a drop-off this year because they traded Tyreek Hill. Zero slippage at all. Those types of quarterbacks will be championship contenders no matter what. And there's not a lot of them. We just rattled off probably four or five guys that currently are, two guys that were. I don't think Justin Fields could ever be that guy.
As well as Lamar Jackson?
It's a little bit different. I think Fields has a little more power to his running style, but maybe not as quick as Lamar Jackson.
I don't think he's as effective a runner as Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson coming out had to really learn how to be an accurate passer. And he has made strides to do that. I see Justin Fields, and I know he has to do that too. I just don't know how long that's going to take or if he ever gets there. I saw some of his throws this year, and I knew that no matter what kind of athleticism and talent he has, those were horrible throws and really bad decisions that he's going to have to get better at. And that's why I think, look, to our discussion when we looked at where the Texans are and where they want to be, you know all the quarterbacks in the AFC, right? But for that reason, we said if you're going to get a franchise quarterback, it's got to be a guy that can compete with the guys we just rattled off in the AFC.
Exactly.
I think when you look at Fields, he could be a top 15 guy. He can hover around the 10 mark. But I think that's the ceiling.
Maybe peak one season, top five, if everything is perfect around him, if all of the stars align around him, right? So we just kind of, I think we're in agreement with Fields is. He's not that quarterback where no matter what, your team is a championship contender. If we think that Bryce Young, or if Chicago thinks, doesn't matter what we think, if Chicago thinks that Bryce Young is incredibly special, their GM saying they would have to be blown away. They think he is that guy. Whenever you have Bryce Young under center, that you're a championship contender no matter what. How do you pass him up? Yeah. How do you, if you believe Fields is not that guy, you believe that Bryce Young is that guy, and you feel that in order to contend in the NFL, you need that guy, how do you pass him up?
Plus, you also have the built-in alibi. You have the built-in excuse of, hey, I'm the new general manager here. I'm supposed to be making decisions based on what I think and who I think the best talented players are that I have access to. If I have access to this kid who I think could rehang the moon in the NFL, doesn't matter how good the rest of the quarterbacks currently on my roster are, then I'm going to trust my gut and go get that guy. I can find a home for the other guy, and I can still recoup some of what I gave up, maybe almost as much as what I gave up, to get some of the team interested in the guy that I've already had at quarterback for a couple years.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Bill, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Bill?
Bill. You're on the air, Bill.
Billy. All right, delay game. He's got it here. We're not going to deal with this on Friday. Appreciate the efforts, though, Bill. 713-780-ESPN. 1185. Justin Fields is an awesome athlete. I think he can take the team to the promised land. They need a defensive player. A lot of times, whenever we look at teams and where they're picking and who they should pick, we oftentimes look at like what's going to help them immediately. Like, if you looked at the Bears right now, what makes them a better team next year? Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, and they're a better team next season. But if you look at it in a 5, 7, 10-year arc, what makes the most sense for Chicago? If you feel like you need that franchise quarterback to be a contender every year in the NFL, if you don't think Fields is that guy, you think Bryce Young is that guy, everybody tells us that you only have, every so often to draft that guy. How do the Bears pass that up? I don't think that you can.
Again, because they know what's in their division. They know that the Lions have taken a huge step up. They know that the Vikings have a ton of talent, and they can get out of Kirk Cousins in a year or so. And this is the time to catch the team that they hate the most, that they have just been owned by for so many years in the Packers. So they can't just be good. They've got to be good enough to beat those other teams and start to really make their mark again on the NFL. And if you believe that that guy wasn't the guy that you signed up for, and that you suddenly have the opportunity that you probably didn't expect going into the season, but suddenly you have the opportunity without having to trade or do anything to get maybe a step above or a guy you believe in more, you got to make that move.
713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the question we teased. Was embracing the suck worth it? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Embrace the suck, worth it, we'll discuss in 5 minutes. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, though. 713-780-3776. Isaiah, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Isaiah?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show. Houston native, Houston graduate, everything. As far as embrace the suck, I mean, it may be a good chance that the Colts do move up and make that move, but they're going to have to give up a lot. And just like the Texans, they have a lot of holes to fill as well. I mean, at the end of the day, just get the guy you want. Everybody's, of course, kind of disgusted with the pick because, you can't control your own destiny when you have the second pick. But, hey, make the best of this pick. Just make the right moves and just move forward. Hey, love you guys. So let me know what you guys think.
Well, we love you.
Yeah, first Isaiah, and foremost, thanks a lot, Isaiah. Man.
Especially if you meant Houston native and Houston graduate, you meant U of H. We especially
love
you.
I'm not, but I got here as fast as I could.
Yeah. We love you more, Isaiah, than Blankers.
That's nice.
The Colts have less holes than the Texans, though. He mentioned that the Colts have, holes. Every team has holes. It's the NFL, salary cap league. Every team has weakness. The Colts have less weaknesses than the Texans. If the Colts are trading up, and look, they're at 4, Texans are 2, it would take a little bit more for the Colts to trade up to 1 than it would the Texans to trade up to 1. No one's suggesting that. I don't think anybody is suggesting that, although it probably wouldn't surprise me. the Colts aren't as far away as the Texans are to field a roster that you feel can compete for the playoffs. So the Colts trading a lot to go up to get their quarterback, I don't know if that would cost them as much as I've seen. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, who cares if the Colts trade up to number one? Because that's a fear that's out there. Colts trade up to one. They take whatever quarterback you think is the best, whether you think it's Bryce Young, whether you think it's C.J. Stroud. Everybody refuses to mention Will Levis in the conversation, which I find to be hilarious. But I digress. They trade up to get that quarterback. That's everybody's fear. I've seen the counterpoint to that fear on the streets of Twitter saying that, well, who cares if they trade up to one? They're going to give up so much draft capital that it's going to sink that ship. Okay, if we think Bryce Young again is that franchise quarterback that we just talked about, and he's going to be a contender with whatever team he's on, whatever situations he's on, and some people might disagree with that. I disagree with that. But if you believe that, and then the Colts get that guy, then you're looking at a team that's going to be very formidable in the AFC and especially in the AFC South.
You're going to see it twice a year, and it's going to be a constant reminder and a kick in the jimmy that, you know, you could have, if you just played your cards right, this is what you could have had that you didn't have that is now going to haunt you for the long term. And you're right, the Colts, I mean, with Shaq Leonard and Quentin Nelson and the receiving core and Jonathan Taylor and all the different guys they have, they are a far more talented team that did not expect to be where they are. They fully expected that in one of these swing and hit a home run or miss situations with veteran quarterbacks that all it took was one guy that was a little bit more of a glorified game manager with something left in the tank that they would have been a playoff team. And yet, lo and behold, they are within an arm's reach of getting a younger, longer-term solution at the one position that they seem to be glaringly weak at and suddenly get instantaneously better. If it ends up being the guy at the pick that you should have had, there is egg on your face and all kinds of pain below the belt because you screwed yourself.
Yeah, that's just kind of the added caveat of that. 0511 sounds like y'all think Fields' ceiling is Dak Prescott.
That's not a bad analogy.
That's not a bad one.
I think Dak grew into being a better passer of the football currently, but I think that we don't know. There's nothing that says that Fields can't get better as a passer too.
I think Dak spent some time as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. I don't think he's currently a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think Fields could spend some time as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Also, like you said, sometimes based on the year, and he could have 1 year, and based on circumstance. Remember the 1 year where Dak led the league in passing. It was because they were getting their doors blown off. He was playing from behind. He was slinging it all over the yard, and he had to. So the numbers were inflated, and he was way up in terms of the top 10 from a numbers perspective, but the team didn't win many games.
No. Yeah, I mean, Dak at his best was the top 10 quarterback for a while. Mm-hmm. For a while. He slipped. He's no longer top 10.
There's a reason why he got the contract. I mean, he wasn't bad. Let's put it that way. It's just that you were going to have to pay him money that said he was really, really good.
Yep. 4683, I'm more worried that the Bears or their trade partner would want Stroud over Young. He's talking from a Texans perspective. Mm-hmm. Young size makes me nervous taking him as the first quarterback off the board. Every single one of these quarterbacks has warts. Every single one is not a Trevor Lawrence, as funny as that is to say now, is not an Andrew Luck, is not a John Elway, is not a
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is not a bona fide number one slam dunk pick. It wouldn't shock me if the Bears go defense, right? Like if the Bears go Anderson or Jalen Carter, it wouldn't completely blow my mind. Bryce Young, the concerns there are his size. Is he going to be tall enough? Is he going to be thick enough? Is he going to be able to beat you from in the pocket,
durable,
et cetera, et cetera? Durable, which a lot of people say that he's like really good at escaping hits, escaping contact. I would disagree with that. I would disagree a lot with that. Bryce Young has been somebody who's taken some hits in his Alabama career. One example you could look at is Texas this year in the end zone. And what should have been a safety took a pretty vicious hit and got hurt this year as well that forced him to miss a game and a half. So, Bryce, you have the questions about his size and can somebody at that size be durable in the NFL? Can they beat you from the pocket if you believe that you have to win from the pocket as an NFL quarterback? C.J. Stroud's concerns are the fact that he played with an unbelievable offensive situation. You have Ryan Day, an Ohio State offense that's always very, very good. First-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round left tackle, second-round right tackle. That gives you all the time in the world to throw. Can his game translate to the NFL level? Serious concerns there. And then everybody does not want to mention Will Levis into the conversation, although Will Levis can do anything and anything better than C.J. Stroud can do at the college average level. It just doesn't have the volume and didn't have the statistical success that the other guys did. And then his warts are that he didn't have a very good senior season, and he's a little bit older than those other two guys and didn't have the volume. Didn't like he can do everything better than C.J. Stroud. But he didn't do it often. He didn't do it a lot. So that kind of brings fear into that conversation.
Yeah, he didn't have help around him, and he didn't help himself in the season that really mattered the most. Otherwise, when they looked at early in his career, you could see him oozing with talent.
And you could also talk about how the situation this year was not ideal. An offensive coordinator who was one and done, they got fired. 120th ranked offensive line in all of football, and skill position players around him that were not very good. Never had a chance to really sit in the pocket and pick you apart like a C.J. Stroud, like a Bryce Anderson. So those are some things that come to mind when you talk about all three. But all three quarterbacks have some issues. Everybody hates the Levis thing, although I still think there's a good chance Levis ends up in Houston, and I kind of hope so. Was Embrace the Suck worth it?
Well, it wasn't until the last week of the regular season in year two. To me, it was like, and I tweeted this, and I've said this, and you and I have talked about this. Look, the whole reason why we created the campaign, the whole reason why I had the mantra, the whole reason why I believe this was the easiest and best and quickest path to getting back to a winning team was because it seemed to be too easy, too logical. And it also seemed to be a plan with the way this organization is run, they just would find a way to not be able to stick to. And yet they did. And they stuck to it for 2 years. And they followed it to a T. And they had it right to the finish line. Then they tripped and fell down and couldn't cross in time. And that's what makes it entirely just aggravating as a fan. Because of the fact that all it took was one more week, and they were there. And they would have had it all sitting there at their disposal in this grand smorgasbord of eat as much as you want for as long as you want and take everything that you need. And now here we are talking about the fact that they are playing second fiddle to the Bears. It's frustrating because it still was worth it, and it still will keep them on a fairly rapid plan of progression, assuming they keep doing things right. But it could have been so much better if they had just done it for one more week.
I think everybody reacting the way that they did in week 18 when watching the Texans-Colts game shows you how much it did matter and how much it was
worth it. We turned a lot of people around our side.
I mean, by the time it was week 18, everybody wanted the Texans to lose. So,
but
like,
remember, we were getting killed early.
Oh, no doubt. Everyone was a graduate of Embrace the Suck by the Texans' final game of the regular season. But that shows you how much it was worth it, is that you sat there before week 18, before that game was kicked off, and everybody in the city was wanting to lose. Why were they wanting to lose? Because they wanted the top pick of the NFL draft. Even though you didn't get that top pick because you choked. You choked away that game and won it in week 18 at Indianapolis against the Colts. You still get a very good pick. And you still have, we've talked a lot throughout the show about the selling of hope, right? Even at number two, you have a lot of hope. You can still get the best player in the draft at number two, depending on what happens and how it all plays out. But because of how everybody viewed that week 18 game where you needed to lose it, anything short would have been a choke job, and the Texans choked it away, how the city embraced the Texans wanting them to lose that game shows you how much Embracing the Suck was worth it in 2022.
No doubt. No doubt. And again, I think the fact that we even got the Godfather to turn the corner, because John was so anti-Embrace the Suck, and then all of a sudden he saw it too. Like, it wasn't that we wanted it. It wasn't that it wasn't going to be tough to take at times. It just was the best path to get where you wanted to go in the shortest amount of time. And they had it all right there in front of them. They controlled their whole destiny the entire time. That doesn't always work that way. It isn't always that easy. And then when it became the easiest and it was the most controlled situation they could possibly be in, they lost all control.
They did. They did. 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What has to happen next year for Nick Caserio not to be fired? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the chances C.J. Stroud does not declare for the NFL draft? Has until Monday.
So we're doing a lot of numbers today. It's a percentages Friday. I think 10%. I just think that the payday. I understand that he could play.
Probably make more next year at Ohio State than he could in the NFL.
Well, that was your guys that started that, where they said Derek King could make more money his final year at Miami than he could have on the practice squad or the roster of an NFL team.
But he wasn't a first rounder.
No, but I mean, he had a lot of talent to where it doesn't matter where the NFL team wanted to.
I don't think he would have been drafted though. Like, it's much different.
But still, NIL. My point is the NIL changes everything. Like, you know, you can go on your rookie scale contract, but if you've got a big time program that has a ton of big time boosters, and they think, hey, we can go chase another national championship easier with C.J. Stroud than whoever the next 5-star coming in for a day at Ohio State could be, then let's make it worth his while. Let's bring him back again. I don't think that this go-round there's as much as like the situations we've talked about in the past, whether it be Eli Manning or John Elway, that would say, yeah, I don't want to come out because I don't want to play for them. I don't think that there are teams. I think a quarterback coming out would love the possibility, whether he's the guy or not, to understand that I could either play for Indy, who's almost a playoff team without a quarterback, or I could play for the Texans, where they will give me everything and make me the face of the franchise immediately for the face of hope going forward, and I'll have all kinds of endorsement opportunities and the best chance to succeed. I don't think either situation says that it's scary enough that you say, you know what, I'm going to stay for another year at Ohio State.
The Penn State offensive lineman who was going to be a first rounder, he's going back to Penn State,
yep,
which was like, okay, that kind of catches my eye. Blake Corum, who was a running back in Michigan, who wasn't going to be a first rounder. Now, he was going to be a third, fourth, fifth round, mid-round back, and coming off of injury, he's staying in Michigan when everybody thought he was going to go to the NFL.
Because the injury really set him back, or otherwise he would have been.
But he still would have been a third, fourth, fifth rounder. I don't think he's going to really elevate his draft stock.
He's not Bijan Robinson, but I think in a year's time, if he proves that he's come back 100% from the injury, I think he could be a second-round pick.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't think he improves his draft stock. I think he was a third, fourth, fifth rounder this year. I think he'll be a third, fourth, fifth rounder next year. I think that he's coming back because of the NIL. Penn State offensive lineman, who's going to be a first rounder, coming back for the NIL. I think you're going to see more and more mid-round guys come back for the NIL. You would never think it would be one of the top three quarterbacks, not going to say top two, I'm going to say top three, one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL draft. You didn't think it would come to that. I think it's in play. I ultimately don't think it's going to happen. I think the 10% is a really good one. I could not imagine C.J. Stroud staying another year when he's probably a guaranteed top five, top 10 pick. I don't see him coming back.
And getting that for 4 years, right? You've got one year left at Ohio State to cash in,
mm-hmm,
but you could guarantee yourself the next 4 years to absolutely cash in. And if you play your cards right and play your games right, get a lot more than that.
That's why if I was money-driven and one of the best quarterbacks in this draft class, I'm looking at that big free agent contract that I'm getting after my rookie deal. And it's how fast you can get to that I believe is going to optimize how much money you make in your career. So if you wait another year, well, you can even, like, this might be kind of outrageous to say he can make more money next year at Ohio State than he could this year as a rookie in the NFL, but you're also punting it a year, yes, down the road on how big you can cash in on that contract that you get. I don't think it makes any sense for C.J. Stroud to stay in college. I ultimately don't think it's going to happen where he stays in Columbus.
Yeah, no, just because you get the Dr. Pepper commercial this year and you make a little extra for 1 year, you set yourself back by getting your first massive contract by 1 year, and you can't make up those dollars. That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. It's again, when we were talking about a short-term decision without looking at the long-term ramifications, I think there's too many long-term ramifications if he went back to Ohio State.
I do, too. I mean, he would have the insurance. He would have all of that, but still, I think he's going to go to the NFL. I do like where the NIL, though, is going to keep some of these fringe prospects from going early. You know, these, like, third, fourth rounders who are juniors were like, okay, let me go cash in on some NIL, wait another year, or you're a fifth, sixth round draft pick where a lot of guys will leave school early to be a late round draft pick. I think that they were going to come back for next year, for another year. So I do love that aspect of it. 6030, difference from college. Everyone is faster, stronger. Bryce won't last. He's overhyped because he's another Alabama product. First QB1 at Alabama to not win a national title since Blake Sims in 2014. I don't know why you're shaking your head, B-Mac. It's a fact. I bet Young is the third, maybe fourth quarterback taken. I will bet that. 6030, if you want to bet that, I will bet that. I will bet you that Bryce Young is one of the first three quarterbacks taken.
Oh, without question.
But I'm not trying to bet you. I'm trying to bet 6030.
Yeah, you know what? You like to take advantage of the horrendous offers that you get on Twitch.
Is there anything wrong with that?
I mean, no. I mean, I can't fault you. I think more it's jealousy that people aren't throwing those things my way because I'd bet them too.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I just think if people want to be stupid, then you and you have the ability to cash in on it, then go ahead.
Exactly. I'm a capitalist, baby. All right. What does Nick Caserio have to do this year to save his job? How can he avoid being fired in a year's time?
Well, I mean, obviously, everybody, the easy answer is to get the right quarterback out of this draft. And I don't know that you'll be able to tell that in a year's time. And you would definitely, you could probably see some progress. But I think more so to have the kind of draft he had a year ago yet again, because he's got more draft capital. He's got five picks in the top three rounds. He's got, you know, his full complement of picks throughout the draft. And if he keeps doing the kind of things like he did, finding the diamond in the fourth round rough, in a Pierce and hitting on Petrie, and as much as there's scrutiny about the two guys in the first round, they look like they're NFL players, and there is no ceiling on them just yet. And if Mechie is making this miraculous comeback and we can see who Mechie is, it might even get better. Christian Harris, once he got on the field, looked really good. If you have that kind of draft yet again, if you do what you were able to do a year ago and find a couple more of the Stevie Nelsons and the veterans that you brought in, the Jerry Hughes, that can fortify this roster where you weren't able to do so in the draft, and that everything comes together to where you look like a more organized, more efficient, and a better football team by also hitting on the right coach, you can save your job. But I think everything is in play and everything is being scrutinized in the crosshairs now, because the honeymoon is over and this is the make or break year. Even though it's a 6-year deal, this is the one that I said, if we're still sitting here talking about Nick Caserio more than we're talking about our team and our roster and the quality of player, then Nick Caserio is going to get fired in a year's time. So all those things are on the table.
There's no doubt that he made Caserio's seat a lot warmer. I think it's hot. I think that you need to start seeing improvements immediately with the Houston Texans. That said, I don't think the bar is all that high. I think you need to improve, mm-hmm. but I don't think you need to like make the playoffs next year.
No.
I don't think that you need to win 7 games. You just need to show that the organization's on an upward trajectory. And I don't even think it's that difficult to do. If you get a decent head coach, and I think every coach that's on this coaching search list is a decent head coach. Do we have our favorites? Absolutely, we have our favorites, Benny Johnson. But you don't have to, like, any of these guys are going to be an upgrade, right?
Right.
Whether it's Benny Johnson, whether it's D'Amico Ryans, I think Steichen's an upgrade. I think Gannon's an upgrade, even though I don't want those guys. You're going to get an upgrade at the position, so you're going to see a team that is better coached. You're adding two picks in the first 12 picks to this roster. How many picks are in the top 101? Quite a few. The talent on this team is going to go up as well. So if you can see on the field that the team's looking better and you have promise and you have hope, I think that saves Nick Caserio's job. If you have a team and a coaching staff that isn't an embarrassment, like why did Davis Mills regress in year two from year one whenever he had Tim Kelly as his offensive coordinator? Like, that sounds like a silly question. If you can avoid those type of things, Nick Caserio's job is going to be safe. You win a game or two more. If you have a young quarterback, he shows signs of maybe being good someday, and you have a young roster, I think it's all it takes for Nick Caserio to keep his job. I don't think it's that difficult to do.
Well, I think that the difficult part is you can't mess up, right? You had some leeway in the past where you could miss on a pick or two, or you could do some things like some of the stupid trades that we talked about in the past, and everybody would just sweep it under the rug. But now the coaching debacle is front and center of everybody's mind. Now Cal has put you on notice, no matter what was a confusion and unanswered questions of the past and who made the actual decisions on coaches and other things. Now it's very clear cut that he is involved, but this is what he and Nick are going to make this call. So now you leave nothing to question. You know who's going to be at the helm and who's doing what. And you know that there's a lot of people that were calling for his rear end and saying, if you truly wanted to clear house, if you wanted a clean, fresh start, you wanted to start from scratch, then Caserio should have been out the door with Lovey with a box of his things and heading to his car for the last time at NRG. So you know that all those things now are clearly cut and defined and on you. So you can't swing and miss. You obviously can't swing and miss on the coaching, but you have to have as good, if not better, a draft than you had a year ago, because like we said, more picks and a more important position that is really being scrutinized, and you're questioning if he if for one thing, if he decides to not go quarterback at all,
I think you can live with that for a year if we know that's kind of what the head coach wants. Like if it's Sean Payton, and hopefully it's not, but if it's Sean Payton and he tells you that he doesn't want a rookie quarterback, he'd rather build up, let's say, the defensive side of the ball. You go Will Anderson, whatever's there at number 12, maybe it's even a receiver. And then he's like, you know, I want to go to work with David Carr's brother.
I was going
to
say, if the quarterback position and how he handles it for next year is going to be hyper important, whether he drafts one.
Yep.
Or he goes out and acquires one, and what he's got to give to get that one, that he is going to be scrutinized to the utmost because of that, and that is a big factor.
I think there's scenarios that are there that Texans don't go rookie quarterback in the first round. I would
but
like
quarterback. The position is
right, no doubt. You can't go with Davis Mills.
No.
That's a non-negotiable thing. That's a deal breaker. I would fire Caserio if he's planning on Davis Mills being the starter in 2023. I think the Sean Payton scenario is one that exists, although I think it's slim because I don't think Sean Payton's going to be the head coach here. But if he was a veteran quarterback, give me David Carr's brother. Or it's one that we talked about yesterday, D'Amico Ryans. Let's stay really good defensively. Let's give D'Amico Ryans what he wants, a strong defense. Will Anderson's there at 2. I need a pass rusher. I need a Bosa. And then at 12, you take a dude that's really good from sideline to sideline as a linebacker. That way, Jalen Petrie doesn't have to attempt 150 tackles a year. And then you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo for a year. And maybe you draft a Hendon Hooker as a project quarterback. Like, I could see a route where the Texans don't go quarterback in the first round.
You know where,
I don't want that, but I believe they could.
But in doing so, he still gets scrutinized. Because,
sure.
And again, we're so hyper-focused now as an organization in everything that they're doing on the perception. The media, the fans, etc. I think the fans immediately, if that's how the draft plays out and they don't go quarterback, then you're going to embrace the suck for one more year because you're doing everything you can for Caleb. And suddenly, if you find out it's not about Caleb because you went out and got a veteran quarterback that was capable of at least carrying the torch, managing the team, getting you some wins, and suddenly you don't end up with a chance to get Caleb. Now, suddenly, everybody's going to be going, well, what the hell did you do?
That's true.
I mean, it's going to be on him, right?
Yep, it would be. 713-780-ESPN, everybody's favorite game. Who said it? ESPN 97.5 personalities with the quotes. We guess who said it, and then we listen to see if we're right. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.